Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So today I want to talk to you about discrimination. Discrimination on American campuses. Right? Dow University is at the most prestigious places of higher learning in the world, and massive discrimination. And I'm not talking about discrimination on the basis of race, although I'm sure that still exists and certainly has existed in the history. And I'm not talking about discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and I'm sure that still exists and certainly has existed in the past. No, I'm talking about discrimination on the basis of one's politics. I'm talking about discrimination on one basis of one's ideology or even on one's religion. Here's a quote from a black evangelical at a university. He's a sociologist, and he says, "Outside of academia, I face more troubles as a black. But inside academia, I face more problems as a Christian, and it is not even close." Not even close. So our universities have a clear, unequivocal, unquestionable leftist bias. And I would say more than a bias, a leftist intolerance of any point of view that is different from this. And just so my cards on the table, I am not a conservative. Don't accuse me of that, please. I'm not a conservative. And I'm not an evangelical. I'm certainly not an evangelical. I'm not a Christian. I'm not religious at all. I'm an objectivist. I'm a, Ayn Rand's philosophy. That's for me. And I can tell you, those ideas are discriminated against on campus as well. If you're a libertarian, your ideas are discriminated against on campus. But we're mainly going to be talking about conservatives because most of the studies are about conservatives. But the point is that liberals today, and I hate using the word liberals because they're not liberal. You know what liberal used to mean? You know where the word liberal comes from? It comes from the word liberty. Liberal used to mean pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-free markets, pro-capitalism. And then the left somehow distorted, took over the words, reshaped it, and today it means a leftist. And that's weird. It shouldn't mean a leftist. It should mean a pro-reason, pro-science, pro-capitalism, pro-free market, pro-freedom person, which is what it still means, at least to some extent, in Europe and in Latin America. So if you go to Europe and people say, "I'm a liberal," they are free market. Only in America does liberal mean leftist. But anyway, the leftist on campuses will not allow diversity of opinion, will not allow diversity of ideas. There's only one set of ideas that's legitimate, and that's the one approved by the authorities of leftist thought. This is universities. This is the place where we're supposed to debate ideas. This is the place where you're sending your kids to hear different views, to shape their thoughts for the future, to shape their intellectual knowledge. And yet a whole set of ideas are excluded. A whole set of perspectives are excluded, not on the basis that they are, clearly false and there's no evidence, but just on the basis that we don't like them. Although this is the excuse they make, right? So here's some comments. Now, the show today is going to be about this discrimination on campus and about the intolerance of the left. But I have to give credit for a leftist for actually bringing this story to the forefront. And this is a couple of articles that Nicholas Kristof wrote in the New York Times, of all places, in the Sunday Review, in his op-ed column. He's a regular columnist in the New York Times. And the first of these was titled, "A Confession of Liberal Intolerance." So all the quotes I'm going to give you today are from Nicholas Kristof, from his article, from a column written by I'd say an honest leftist, at least a semi-honest leftist. I'm not sure he's completely honest, but at least here he expresses his honesty. Now, I'm committing the same kind of falsehood he does. He strikes me as an honest leftist. And the second one It's called The Liberal Blind Spot. So these are two articles that came out within a couple of weeks of each other in May, so just in the last few weeks. And both, he's attacking his liberal friends. He's attacking the left for its intolerance of ideas that are not consistent with their ideas, for intolerance, for not letting conservatives into the humanities or the social sciences, for keeping them out, for purposefully excluding them from academia. And of course, at least half of America is conservative, or at least on the right. And you send your kids to university thinking they're going to get a variety of different ideas, and they're going to be challenged with all kinds of points of view. And you should be horrified. You should be literally horrified by the fact that your kids are getting one point of view, they're getting one perspective, they're getting one view as if it is their truth, which is the liberal perspective, the leftist perspective, and that's all they get. They get nothing else, or they get very little else. We'll get through some statistics in a little while in terms of this. So what do you think? Do you have kids in college right now, and what are they coming home with? Do you find yourself having to correct or to fight with your kids in order to get them to listen to a different point of view because all they're hearing and by their professors is just one point of view? How about you? What are your experiences at universities, or if you're a university professor and you tend to be on the right, what are your experiences with your left-wing colleagues? Do you feel discriminated against, or is everything fine? Maybe Chicago is different, although I suspect it's not. Even at the University of Chicago, which certainly in the economics department, the business school, has certainly more right-leaning faculty, I bet you that in the rest of the university, it's dominantly, not even close, left. Now, you might say, as some say, well, that's because anybody on the right doesn't want to go into academia. They're not interested. They're just money-grubbing capitalists who want to make money. So they don't go, right? They don't go into academic professions because there's not enough money in it. We people on the right, we're just interested in money. I'm sure you are, right? By the way, if you want to call in, I didn't give the phone number. I asked you a question and did give your phone number. So, you know, basic mistake of a radio host. Okay, call in number 312-642-5600. 312-642-5600. You're listening to Yaron Brooks Show, and I want to know what your experiences are with discrimination based on ideas on campus. Or do you have a kid who's going to university and all they're getting is a drumbeat, a constant drumbeat of leftist ideology? Are they surviving? Are you surviving? Do you feel cheated by the fact that you're paying this huge tuition so your kid can be brainwashed by only one side of the story and never hearing an alternative point of view? You should be angry. You should be mad. But people talk about student debt. What makes the whole issue of student debt is so much more corrupt and so much more offensive is that they're not even getting a decent education. They're graduating with $200,000 worth of debt or $20,000 worth of debt, whatever the level be, and they're learning. You know, I can't even say these words on the radio. I'm not sure, right? I can't remember my seven non-words. They're learning one side of the story, and it's not the right side of the story. They're learning the wrong side of the story, and you're paying for it, and yet they are going into debt for it. And all of us are going to suffer because what happens is these kids who go to these universities, they land up voting for Bernie Sanders because Bernie Sanders is saying what their professors have been telling them for years. Bernie Sanders is just reflecting back to them what their education, what their university professors have been telling them, what their high school teachers have been telling them. So it's not surprising Bernie Sanders is doing so well among young people. I mean, he's doing amazingly well among young people. He's blowing Clinton out of the water, and he would blow any Republican out of the water among young people. That should scare you. It should scare you that the product of our educational institutions today is socialist. It's so-called progressive. It's anti-wealth, anti-freedom, anti-capitalism, anti-free speech, anti-liberty, anti-freedom, anti-American. How about that? Anti-American. But that shouldn't surprise you. I've been saying all along, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I keep trying to tell my listeners, look, we hate politicians. We can blame the politicians. We don't like cronyism. It's all the cronies' fault. But the real enemy, the real problem, the real force behind the move to the left, the statism, the corruption, government takeover of our economy, the real problem with no jobs and no growth are the universities, are the professors. It's the leftist ideology that they preach, that they teach our kids. And then those kids become Bernie Sanders fans. That's what you get. All right. When we get back, we're going to talk more about this overt, I mean, this is not even hidden, overt discrimination on campuses. And what happened? What happened to Kristoff when he exposed this? How did the left respond? You're listening to Iran Brooks Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic inbound Eden's Lake Hook to the junction. At 31 minutes, Niles Center to the junction, it's on and off the brakes. And then on the outbound ride, there is a stall reported in the center lane at Tui, so be abreast of that. From the junction to Lake Hook at 25 minutes, Kennedy O'Hare to downtown on an inbound ride at 39 minutes. The flip is the same, 39. It is 17 in the express. Eichen from 53 at 40-47 back out. The Stevenson showing new issues now between Harlem and Cicero, just on and off the brakes. You're going to see lots of red lights thanks to an accident right there that is blocking the right lane at Cicero. So just keep that in mind. If you can avoid it, that might be best. 355 to the drive at 42 from the Tri-State, 32 from Cicero, 12. It's currently 70 and cloudy in Chicago. Tonight, 61 and thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 74 and rain. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Senate Bill 3267 would introduce electronic driver tracking and charge you per mile that you drive.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
They're so desperate for money. What's next? Are they going to tax the air we breathe?
This is government at its best, taking blood from your left arm to infuse it into your right arm and spilling half of it on the ground.
We are really broke.
Start your day with Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
You don't have to go underwater anymore. You don't need to go down in that hole with your portfolio and dig yourself out. You can actually put a floor so you never go down ever again and get into a strategy where you just continue to make growth so not only that your principal is protected, but whatever gains you make, those are protected as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Ladies, are the chemicals in your home's water stripping the life from your hair? Men, do you have that one pesky toilet that always gives you problems? Listen to the Heatwave Plumbing Radio Show this Saturday for answers to all your plumbing questions. Need plumbing help right now? Be the very first person to go to radioplumbingdeals.com, fill out the radio discount request form, click submit, and get $129 worth of service for $39.95. That's radioplumbingdeals.com.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, so we today are talking about discrimination on campus. And for a change, it's not about racial discrimination or sexual discrimination or whatever discrimination. It's about discriminating based on ideas. You know, here's an institution that is supposed to be about open debate, open discussion, supposed to be about a variety of ideas. Not all ideas. Some ideas are just too stupid to bring into the university. But you know, ideas, you know, exchange. And yet, no, of all the places on the planet, universities in America today are the least diverse in terms of ideas and the most oppressive in terms of dealing with opposition to the standard ideas. All right, we've got Sharon on the line. Sharon wants to talk about college liberal professor going out, going the way of dinosaur. All right. What do you,
Sharon, I believe that. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What do you mean by liberal?
Well, the far left wing of the academia, the people who are going to train the kids to be communists, essentially, by the time they graduate college, when you look at that college in, I think it's Missouri, called Mizzou, and they had a drop in enrollment of about 1,400 students, and while all the problems were going on, those poor professors were running to what they thought was their white ivory tower in the sky where no one could really protect them. These parents who have a kid getting in there with a 4.0 grade average about to graduate, they're not going to want them entrapped at the end of some hallway by 20 mad men and women trying to convert them to their far-left philosophy. And I think parents and money is dear today. It doesn't come easy. I think that parents who are smart are going to steer their kids into trades or take them to school where the learning really is good and not as expensive. These professors are way overpaid. They've been overpaid forever. And when they say that we greedy capitalists don't like money, take a good look at them. Take a good look at Michelle Obama and the house that her and her husband and family are going to move into. And I'm not begrudging success, but they go out there as if they're just for
it's
the poor
man expense,
or poor
Sharon.
Woman. You know?
It's at our expense, their success. How do politicians do it, right? It's like a magic trick. You go into politics poor and you come out a gazillionaire. How does that happen? Right?
You know, Your Honor, if I knew how that happened, I guess I'd do it, and so would you. But I see it as a dead end. I'd rather be the small businesswoman I am than I currently have been for decades. And like I said, I think they're going to go the way of the dinosaur because basically people are looking at the unrest on campuses and saying, I'm not going to send my kids there. And the kids aren't going to want to go. And there's going to be these professors. They're going to disappear. So you know what?
Well, the question is,
it is working, isn't it?
I think to some extent you're right, but I think it's kind of sad because – you know, a real good liberal education, liberal in the proper sense of the word,
oh,
not in the leftist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not these
liberal arts education, great books education, real opportunity for a kid to stretch his mind and to be exposed to different ideas and to find himself and to figure out what's good for him. I mean, that is so valuable. And the fact that these bastards have taken that over and have distorted it and perverted it and made it into, you know, made university experience a... you know, an emotional-driven, leftist, ideological, you know, bastardization of what a liberal arts education should be is
tragic. May I put a plug in?
It's sad.
For Hillsdale College, they are wonderful. Yeah. I get in Primus. And believe me, if I had children, I would send them all there.
Yeah, no. I think you're right. And what I'm hoping is that people wake up and they stop funding these universities. Because you know who funds, you know how these universities survive. They survive because
that's
of those
fair.
Greedy capitalists who make money and then send contributions to their alma mater. I always tell business groups, I tell them, you want to save America? Stop giving money to your alma mater. Stop giving money to the universities.
Serve them out.
All they teach is anti-capitalism, anti-science garbage. Go ahead,
Susan.
Amen to
that. Sorry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, anytime. This was fun. All right, so bye. So let's look at this. I mean, you know, people say I'm exaggerating, but this is these are the comments. So this Christoph, who's again a leftist, put this up on Facebook that he thought that universities were stigmatizing conservatives and they undermined intellectual diversity, and these are the kind of responses he got. He got, you know, somebody wrote in, much of the conservative worldview consists of ideas that are known empirically to be false. I mean, that makes me laugh, given the nonsense that passes today as a leftist worldview and that these kids, these poor kids are being taught at universities. The truth has a liberal slant, wrote Michelle. Really? A liberal slant. And you know this how? Because you're objective about this and you actually are seeking the truth. You're seeking the truth as long as you don't have to hear opposing views, as long as you don't have to look at facts that don't fit with your worldview, as long as you're not microaggressed or whatever the hell they call it, as long as you're not triggered, right? That's right. You know, truth is a safe space. Give me a break. The truth has a liberal slant. I mean, really. And then we got, you know, how about we make faculties more diverse by hiring idiots? And I got a couple of these where basically the guy said, where's this other one? There's another one where the guy basically said, you don't diversify with idiots, right? So this is the idea. Conservatives are idiots. Anybody on the right's an idiot. The only people who have any brains, the only people who make any sense, the only people who have a right to speak, the only people who should have an opinion, certainly the only people who should get doctorates and teach at universities are, drumroll, leftists. And who should fund these leftists? Who should provide them with their cushy jobs? Who should give them the money for the research to write the papers that nobody reads? Who should fund the beautiful university buildings in which they are employed? Who should fund all that? Well, it's the greedy capitalists, those half-human people, you know, mostly conservatives or right-wing who do idiots. They're smart enough to make money, but they're not smart enough to be among us, among the intellectuals, among the thinkers, among the producers of intellectual content. Hey, I mean, here's one of his readers. This is Christoph, one of his readers when he wrote the first piece, which is called, it was called The Confession of a Liberal Intolerance. This is one of the comments he got from somebody, you know, one of his readers. I'm grossly disappointed in you for this essay, Mr. Christoph. In other words, how dare you? You have spent so much time in troubled places, seemingly called out misogyny and bigotry, and yet here you are, scolding and shaming progressives for not mindlessly accepting patriarchy, misogyny, complementarianism, and hateful bigotry against the LGBT community into the academy. Really? Is every conservative you've ever met? Now, some conservatives are all these things, hateful and bigoted and complementarian and all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, I don't want to deal with people like that. But is every conservative, is everybody on the right, you know, is these things? This is the image. And you think you have, that the truth is slanted left? You think you are open and you are liberal? You're not a liberal. Not in the true meaning of the word. You're an intolerant, you know, discriminating. It's just awful. Here's another one. I don't think a university should hire a nincompoop. Right? Sure. I don't think they should hire a nincompoop. But the assumption here is that all people on the right are nincompoops. Right? Which is ridiculous. All right. This is the state of our universities. This is how people think at the universities, right? This is how people think at our universities. And of course, what do they do as a consequence of this? The students protest every time there's a slightly right-to-center speaker come on campus. They're shut down. They're yelled at. They are forced to stop the speech. Even they're so knee-jerk that even a Democrat like Madeleine Albright, who is the first female Secretary of State, I'm no fan of Madeleine Albright, right? She's being targeted by illiberalism on campus. Illiberalism by so-called liberals, or really by leftists. I call them leftists. Right? So, they're the closed-minded ones. They are the discriminating and the fill of stereotypes. And indeed, this is what happens. So, in surveys, you find that half of academics in some fields would discriminate against the job seeker who they have learned was religious, where the job is not related to the religion, right? Yeah, I mean, if you want a job as a genetics professor, and you don't believe in evolution, you shouldn't get the job. You shouldn't get the job, right? But this is where it's unrelated. Just because they don't like the fact that you're religious, you don't get a job. That's absurd. Or because you're conservative. Four studies have found that at most only one professor in 10, one in 10 in the humanities or social sciences is a Republican. Now, I'm not a big Republican either, but these should be alarming numbers in a population that's pretty 50-50. Okay, you're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back with a call from Dave. After these commercials, we'll continue talking about discrimination in academia.
We're so excited about our sold-out golf outing at the Bolingbrook Golf Club coming up on Thursday, June 16th, to benefit Operation Support Our Troops America.
If you weren't able to get in this year, don't worry. You can still reserve a tee time at the Bolingbrook Golf Club anytime this spring or summer by visiting bolingbrookgolfclub.com.
And thanks to the sponsors who are making our golf outing possible.
Dependable Construction Company Incorporated, Charity Golf International, Dr. Amy and Associates, MJ Miller and Company Jewelers in Barrington, and Pearl Mortgage.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Bernie Sanders predicts that neither he nor Hillary Clinton will have enough pledged delegates to claim the Democratic crown following Tuesday's last primaries.
So for the media and anybody else, for Secretary Clinton to say on Tuesday night, let's add together all of the superdelegates that I have, plus the pledged delegates I have, and we're over the top, is inaccurate.
Sanders says nominating system is deeply flawed and he will work to change it. Looking back on the life of the greatest.
Muhammad Ali once said, he who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life. Boxer Manny Pacquiao wrote today, boxing benefited from Muhammad Ali's talents, but not nearly as much as mankind benefited from his humanity. Muhammad Ali is gone at age 74.
Fox's Jared Max. Ali's funeral will be Friday in Louisville, Kentucky, his hometown. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree taking a look at traffic. Inbound Edens, Lake Hook to the Junction at 29 minutes. The reverse a bit better at 23. Kennedy Yeno here to downtown 38. You flip it back out to the airport at 36. 14 minutes now. Those express lanes holding pretty steady. Those outbound express lanes do clog a bit from Belmont to the Edens, though. Inbound Ike 53 on in at 40 minutes from Mannheim 26. Back out to Mannheim 34 to 53 47. Now, the Stevenson, keep in mind, things are clogged inbound from Harlem to Cicero. Accident blocking the right lane right there at Cicero. Makes sense to slide over to the left to get by a bit, but if you can avoid that area, might be best. 355 to the drive at 42 now from the Tri-State 32. It's currently 67 degrees and cloudy in Chicago. Tonight, 61 and thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 74 and rain. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today in Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. If you've just made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix, because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has over 85 years of experience exterminating invaders like you. And right now, they're making it easier than ever for homes to be protected by offering a free pest estimate to every caller at 1-800-300-6108. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. This is your eviction notice. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will protect that home with a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee so you can never return. Warning, homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate at 1-800-300-6108. 1-800-300-6108.
Limitations apply. See plan for details.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking today about discrimination on campus, and if you want in the conversation, 312-642-5600. We're talking about how the left, which dominates the university, 90% of the professors, I just gave you statistics in the humanities and the social sciences, are left of center, or at least I don't declare themselves as being right. Maybe part of them, some of them, are too afraid to actually even say it because they know they will be discriminated against by their colleagues. They will not get tenure. They will not get published in the journals. It is horrific what is going on in American universities, and it's your kids, your grandkids. They're the ones who are going to suffer, and you are paying the bills. Yay! You get to pay the bills so that your kids can be indoctrinated with leftist ideology and without even an alternative being presented. And I mean, it really is sad. Now, before I go on with this, two things I want to remind you of. One is my book, Equal is Unfair. Equal is Unfair, a book your kids will not read on campus. It's a book that will not be taught in economics or political science classes, even though it should be. It is a book that will not be used to challenge the nonsense of Piketty, Stiglitz, Paul Krugman. But it is a book that really changes the whole entire debate on income inequality. It challenges the left's whole rhetoric on income inequality and the so-called problems of income inequality. So I encourage you, get it on Amazon. You can get it on Audible. You can get it on Kindle. You can get a hard copy. And next time in Chicago, I'd be happy to sign it for you. Buy a copy on Amazon or any other. Go to Barnes & Noble. Buy a copy in Barnes & Noble. Doesn't matter. Just read the book. It'll give you the kind of intellectual ammunition that you need, because I'm sure all of you, whether these leftists are your friends or not, or your neighbors, or the teachers of your children, the professors of your children, you need to be armed against the nonsense your kids are going to come home from college with. Equal is Unfair helps you do that. And the second thing I want to remind you of is that I will be in Chicago this week, and the Ayn Rand Institute, of which I am the CEO, we are holding a fundraising dinner on Tuesday. That's right, on Tuesday, June 7th. It's just 3 days away at the Langham Hotel in Chicago, and it's at 6 p.m. The reception starts. We have a dinner and a program at 6:45. We'll have a bunch of students there. We'll have a few businessmen and some educators speak. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's expensive, but it goes to a good cause. It goes to promote the educational programs of the Ayn Rand Institute. It goes to getting Ayn Rand's ideas into the hands of your kids and your grandkids, because they ain't going to get it anywhere else. It goes to supporting this radio show and my ability to do this. So if you value this show and you'd like to come and meet me, I'll sign your book, and you'd like to come and hang out with us, you can go to aynrand.com, aynrand.com/events, aynrand.com/events, or do aynrand.com and then find the event button, or ari.aynrand.com/events. Any of those should work, and hopefully I'll see you at the Langham Hotel. We'll celebrate. We call it the Atlas Shrugged Revolution Dinner. We celebrate Atlas Shrugged. We celebrate liberty. We celebrate freedom. And, yeah, it should be fun. All right, we got Dave on the line. Hey, Dave. You're on the Yaron Brook Show. What's up?
Hello, this is Dave. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can hear you.
Oh, great. Okay. This doesn't sound like Yaron. Is this Yaron?
It is Yaron. It certainly is.
OK, Okay, sorry, the voice sounds very different. My question is in relation to education as such, but it's actually regarding K through 12. Could I ask you that question?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm in Portland, Oregon, and there was a horrific, in my opinion, measure that was just passed by the Portland Public Schools. And basically, it's literally a banning of not only future but past books that do not coincide with the views on climate change as such, you know, Al Gore might put out there. And I take extreme offense to this. I teach as an independent contractor in the public schools, and it really raises the question for me, what is the appropriate role and, you know, at various ages, how can you combat this kind of indoctrination with kids, but, you know, myself wanting to respect their minds, what is the role of an adult with these young kids to protect them, perhaps, from some of this material?
You got to teach them to think. That's what you got to do. You got to find a way to teach them to think, because, look, they are not going to be exposed to the real debate about climate change. They're only going to be exposed to the ideology of one side. This is going to be true, unfortunately, in their high school experience. It's going to be true in their college experience, as I've been talking about. There's massive discrimination against anybody on the right in the humanities and the social sciences. And it's not that conservatives can be, or anybody on the right can be, a professor. They're well represented in the sciences, but they're not representative in the humanities, because they're discriminated against, because the left does not want alternative ideas to be heard. And this goes down to the school system. Your job as a teacher is to teach them how to think, so that they can ultimately evaluate for themselves what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. But it's a sad day in America when certain views are being banned from our schools. All right, you're listening to Your Own Book Show. We'll be right back after this break.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree, taking a look at traffic. Inbound Eden's Lake Hook to the Junction. That's at 29 minutes, 23 on the flip. That was pretty steady right now. Kennedy Inn, you do have the tight spot between Nagel and the Junction. Over here to downtown at 38 from the Junction 20. The reverse downtown to the Junction, 13 to the airport, 16. There's express lane still at 14 right now. They're stop and go between Kimball and the Edens. Eichen from 53 at 38 for Mannheim 24. Back out to Mannheim 32 to 53 45. That earlier accident on the Stevenson right at Cicero, they had things stop and go from Harlem. Well, accident gone, but it is still stop and go from Harlem. 355 to the drive. That's at 45 minutes right now from the Tri-State 35 from Cicero 11. It's currently 67 and cloudy in Chicago. Tonight, 61 with thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 74 and rain. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
I believe not only in protecting your retirement and making the growth going forward, but also having a tax-efficient retirement as well, because you want your retirement portfolios to generate an income stream that will last for your life, for your spouse's life, and if you have kids, that will pass on to the next generation as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Having trouble with your air conditioner? Listen to the Heatwave Radio Show this weekend. Need help right now? Be the first person to go to cleanmyac.com, fill out the radio discount request form, and get $252 worth of service for $39.95. That's cleanmyac.com.
Energy bills higher than they used to be? Get $252 worth of service for $39.95 at cleanmyac.com. That's cleanmyac.com.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So if you guys are all concerned about, the idea, the lack of ideological diversity on American campuses and generally in the debates and how overwhelmingly left it is. And you know, the fact is that even most of the Republicans, including, you know, the lead candidate, the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, are pretty left. They're pretty left. The whole political map is shifted left, dramatically left. And there's almost no voice for a pro-free market, reason-based, pro-individual rights, pro-individualism voice out there. So if you value that voice, then you should be supporting the Ayn Rand Institute. And one way to do that, which is fun, and I get to meet you, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you guys, is by attending this Tuesday, June 7th, the Atlas Shrugged Revolution annual dinner. And it's not just me you'll get to meet, but Joe Walsh is going to be there. Joe is actually a keynote speaker this year, which is going to be a lot of fun. So this is going to be an all-around AM560 cool event in Chicago. So I know some of you listeners are not in Chicago, but if you are, please come. Please make an effort. I think it'd be great. Again, it requires a contribution of $500. But you know what? That $500 goes to presenting the world with the perspective you hear in this radio show, which is unusual and rare. You don't hear it anywhere else. So you guys need it. I need it. The world needs to hear more of this stuff. You can help us get that message out there. All right, so let's say you're a young kid and you happen to have kind of objectivist or libertarian or conservative ideas, and you're in academia and you love ideas and you want to be a professor, and you go for your 4 years of undergraduate. What is the message you're given? The message is don't pursue an academic career. Don't pursue it. You're going to be discriminated against. It's going to be hard for you to get into a PhD program. If they discover your views, you're going to be excluded from the best PhD programs. And then once you get your PhD, if you manage to graduate, if they'll accept your thesis, then what happens is that it's almost impossible to find a job. And a bunch of surveys have found that academics, if they discover that you're a, quote, Republican, you'll be discriminated against. You're discriminated against. So why even try? You see, this is why so few people on the right even try for academic jobs, because they know they're not going to get in. It's not that the lack of intellectuality, it's not the lack of will, it's not the fact that they don't want. And indeed, if you talk to people on the right, what they talk about is staying in the closet. They talk in the terms of, you know, kind of gay people in the past. Oh, we have to stay in the closet until we get tenure, and then we can come out of the closet. Not in terms of sexual orientation, in terms of your political views. So you can't be in sociology or anthropology or in psychology or in any of the humanities or history or English. English, there was almost nobody on the right in English. Because you'll be discriminated against. You can't get a job. It's impossible. I mean, these are horrific things. So you have to come out of the closet. You have to stay in the closet. Philosophy is another one, right? So this is where we are in terms of academia. Okay, we got Jason calling again about younger kids. Jason, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Good. But you're going to have to be quick because we got like 3 minutes and that's it.
Okay, yeah, I just had thoughts towards the 5 to 6 year olds being taught gender. I think that if you look at it from a creation perspective, and that we're all individuals and we're created and we're someone's child, that we have to have empathy towards development of children. And I think that it's not such a negative thing that they're being taught, because then it gives the parents opportunity to have counteractive conversations around that. And, you know, everyone's different.
That strikes me as ridiculous, Jason. 5 and 6 year olds have no concept of gender. They have no concept of sex. They have no concept of what any of those terms mean. I mean, I find when you're in the early teens,
I have nieces and nephews, and I grew up on the farm, and my father was a doctor, my mother was, and I was a stay-at-home child. And yes, you are experimenting. You're touching things. You're, you know, you go
at
around
five,
kids touching the dogs' buttholes and stuff, and you correct them, and you say, no, that's not right. That's not appropriate. You see them questioning how animals interact.
Sure. So they're testing things.
It's all very normal. It's all very normal, and it's just coming to the light. These are topics that there's nothing new under the sun. It's just coming under the light, and it's coming out in the open, and we're talking about it. And I think it's going to bring a sexual revolution to our country and to our development of how we perceive and approach people and treat people, because it's different, and everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect.
No, absolutely. I agree with you, Jason. But let me say this. While I think the kids that are 5 or 6 experimenting and want you to treat sex as natural and normal and a good thing, not a bad thing, and I had no problem telling my kids where babies came from, and it wasn't from a stalk, and it wasn't some miracle, it was sex, and there's no problem at any age talking about these things as if they're natural like everything else. But the whole idea of gender and the whole idea of gender differences and things like that, that is an abstract concept that kids at 5 or 6 have no ability to actually comprehend and actually understand. That is something that needs to wait until they're older and you can have a serious discussion about it. And I'm not for discriminating or anything like that. I'm just for age-appropriate discussion with kids. I don't know how we got to this topic. How did this suddenly become about gender and little kids? Not a topic I really wanted to talk about today. Because we've got Candace on the line who wants to talk about the same thing, I think. All right, you're listening to your Ron Brooks Show. We will go anywhere, I guess. Our listeners will take us wherever they want to go. We'll be right back for a very short segment right after this break.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking about discrimination on campuses against people on the right. Let me just give you a few statistics here. One-third of a social psychologist admitted that if choosing between two equally qualified job candidates, they would be inclined to discriminate against the more conservative candidate. One-third. 30% of academics in one survey said that they would be less likely to support a job seeker if they knew that the person was a Republican. Doesn't matter if they're for Harvard. Doesn't matter where they're from, what kind of dissertation they wrote, the quality of the stuff. No, because they are on the right. They would disqualify them. And this is, they're admitting this in a survey. I think the biases that are maybe expressed less, that people would not admit, even probably more severe than that. I find this just horrific. I want to believe or would like our universities to be representative of all, you know, legitimate ideas. Not all ideas are legitimate. Again, if you're an evangelical who does not believe in evolution, you should not be teaching genetics. You should not be teaching, I don't know, certain fields in anthropology. But we are. If somebody is a truth seeker, if somebody does good research, if somebody does good science, they should be allowed in academia no matter what their political views. Okay, we're going to go to Candace. This has to be quick because we don't have a lot of time, Candace. And, I don't know, you're taking us off topic maybe. Go ahead.
I listened to the last caller, and I just think that all that stuff is child abuse and that the state has no place telling our kids about gender roles whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Yesterday on the Drudge Report, there was a story about how some city in California was going to start teaching about gender identification in kindergarten. Okay, now that is called
absurd.
Child abuse. Okay.
That is completely
because
ridiculous.
Kids, they're vulnerable and they don't know any better, and they're going to sit there and listen to this leftist crap. Okay, that's child abuse.
I agree with you completely, Candace. And sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off just because I'm really running out of time. But I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening. But you're right. I mean, it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous for young kids who have not formed enough of their ideas, enough of their mind, enough of their body to really understand these things, for the state, through public education that you finance, to try to indoctrinate them in a certain view about gender. That's the job of the parents. It's not the job of the school. It's certainly not the job of public schools. If you want to send your kid to a private school and you pre-select a particular private school that likes to do this stuff, that's your problem. But for a state school to do this, for the state to get involved in these kind of decisions, these kind of choices, this should definitely be left for parents. And I don't think parents should be talking about this until the kid is more mature, has a handle on the world. When you're in kindergarten, you should be learning about numbers and about letters and about animals and about some basic concepts. You're still gaining the very foundations of knowledge. Very foundations of knowledge. A question like gender is an incredibly abstract idea and notion. And then gender ambiguity. I mean, there's no way for these kids to have any kind of relationship to something like that. So I agree this should be kept out of the schools. The schools have no business in this, and we should be left to people. Okay, you're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We're running out of time every Saturday and Monday. Please stay tuned every week for the show. And go by Equal is Unfair. This is the Ron Brooks Show. Talk to you next week.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary